CNPs be multiplied to us from God our Father through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And indeed, a Happy New Year. We need to celebrate the journey today. Consider the positive. Reject the negative. Understand there will be difficulty, but the Lord is with us. And you know, that's the promise of Scripture, that the Lord will not abandon us along the way, nor allow us, when we are going through difficulty, to become so overwhelmed by it that we would want to reject even the ability to go on. And part of the function of the church is to recognize the revelation of Jesus Christ in His Word. And the revelation of Jesus Christ in this world through the gospel and through that which we know is a portion of history. As we go back to ancient Palestine 2,000 years ago, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Jesus Christ was born. Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And thus, as we celebrate the Epiphany today, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, well, Epiphany actually was yesterday, let's consider for our meditation the celebration of the Magi, the wise men, as we call it, the pictures we see in depictions of artists, the pictures we see or the depictions on Christmas cards that we receive from family and friends, as they came as the first Gentiles to visit the Lord at that very, very early age of his life. It's only recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 12, considering what the Magi's visit must have been, but how the revelation of Jesus Christ continues. God with us, his name shall be called Jesus. And Joseph was very willing. He followed the direction of the angel that spoke to him. His wife brought forth her firstborn son, and he became the Savior of humankind. Think about that. From a baby, a helpless child, very dependent upon the help of his mother primarily, but also all those else around, to become an adult, to go to the cross, to become our Lord and our Redeemer. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard of these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall be shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And so he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child of Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened the treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. But I like to think of the center of the Christmas story, as we all know, is the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. But we have all these satellite situations that are taking place, or that took place, within the early year or the early months of our Lord's life. Christmas Eve, the angel visiting the shepherds coming to Bethlehem to pay homage to the Lord. what happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age, having a child who became John the Baptist as the last prophet, as we would consider it, of the Old Testament, prophesying and speaking of the Lord's presence. Righteous Simeon and Anna in the temple, waiting patiently day after day, ministering as they were called to do, waiting for the revelation of Jesus the Christ. The Magi, as we consider it this morning, making that long journey, a caravan, as it probably was. It wasn't just three. We like the picturesque depiction of the three wise men journeying on camels. It probably wasn't camels, it probably was donkeys. And probably a caravan of people that they were a part of, or maybe they were more than three or half a dozen, a number we don't have any need to know that. But we have the three, which I think reflects the gifts that were brought, that we spoke of, or that is written of in Scripture. And so we begin the journey of 2018. How do we celebrate it? Well, we take stock of yesterday, don't we? Think all of us, as we transition from one year to the next, from 2017 to 2018, look at the change that has transpired in our individual and our collective lives. And the change that we see in our society, changes we see in our nation, changes we see across the globe. Prayerfully hoping that peace will continue to be a part of our nation, praying for those places that are in conflict, that peace would be won. Praying for those that go through personal conflict and difficulty, that peace would be won in their heart and found in their lives. Praying for families where there is conflict. Praying that peace would resolve those conflicts and that they would be bound together. Recognizing those that have lost loved ones and praying for their tranquility and ability to deal with the new reality that that brings, the transitions that people have gone through in 2017 that will bring more transitions in different people's lives in 2018. Children that were born in 2017 that are new in life, and there will be new that are born in 2018. So life does move on. We need to celebrate those times and those situations and those things that are positive, and assist those that go through difficulty and trial and personal conflict and transition. And so we have these wise men, these magi, which is probably a better term, scholars, might be a better word to use, coming to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Epiphania is the oldest Christian festival, celebration, the appearance of a God to mortals, or a visit of a king with a capital K. The appearance of a God to mortals is what Jesus Christ was and is. And we as a church, I know Christendom today doesn't celebrate the Epiphany as it was in ancient times. But it's like unfolding a book or opening a map or opening a picture. You unfold it and you get bits and pieces, and suddenly the whole revelation is there. The Old Testament has unfolded. The revelation is there. The manifestation, the appearance of the God to mortals once more is celebrated. January 6th to the 8th, Eastern Orthodox Church, is the climax of the Christmas season. Think about the climax of the Christmas season. We tend to bring the hammer down at Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and then we go in New Year and we move on with it. Versus using the opportunity, or taking the opportunity, of going from the 24th of December on our calendar through the 6th of January and celebrating that entire time frame. Leave your Christmas tree up, leave your Christmas lights on, whatever, however you do that or don't do that. But I like to think it's a good way of extending the Christmas season to the Epiphany, to the manifestation of a king, to the manifestation of God to mortals. God has come. Take a deep breath on that one, huh? God has come. He is with us. He will be with us. He is incarnate. And so the three magi are paying religious homage, journeying a long ways. When we travel today, we generally fly, but we can still drive. What's a long ways to travel to you? Hundreds of miles? 300 miles? What's our patience level with that travel picture? Overseas, by air, we can travel around the globe today. Most of us drive here within the U.S. If we go from east to west, or fly, or take the train, whatever we choose to use, we make a long journey. These men, these scholars, made a long journey with a very distinct purpose in mind, because they had, as they said to Herod the king in Jerusalem when they got there, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." There was a celestial situation that they followed, that brought them, that they followed to Jerusalem, and then they were told to go to Bethlehem. Three incidents stand out at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, in my mind. One is the visit of these scholars, these magi. The second, we celebrate this weekend as well, the baptism of Jesus Christ by John the Baptist. But I think we're remiss if we don't consider the magi. And the miracle of the wedding of Cana, his first miracle, as recorded by John. But see, ancient manuscripts were available for the magi to read that were there as a result of the exile of Daniel and his colleagues, as we know is written for us in the Old Testament. And thus they read the ancient manuscripts. They looked astronomically at the heavens. They studied arcane subjects. We tend to be fed very much by what we see today rather than what we read. We're fed by what we see in the computer. We are fed by what we see and around us in our culture. We're fed by what we see on the television. All these things feed us. These men spent their time looking in these manuscripts and these documents, trying to understand what they might come to know by doing that. And so they had come to understand that there would come a king of the Jews, or one who we call king of the Jews, and they felt it necessary to come and worship him. That's what the church does. We worship our Lord and our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. You see, there were Jewish priests living in exile among them. And they went to them, perhaps for understanding, perhaps for enlightenment. We'd be foolish not to use resources available to us in whatever the subject that we happen to be studying or looking into. There's someone that is skilled in those areas, has knowledge. We should avail ourselves of that. The Apostle Paul, before he became Paul, Saul of Tarsus, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who understood Old Testament law and learned. Learning was very much a part of Scripture. Learning is very much a part of the church today. We should be willing to allow Scriptures to speak to us, to teach us. Old Testament prophecies, especially from Numbers chapter 24, spoke of a star with a messianic reference. And so these Jewish priests were familiar with these Old Testament prophecies. And so they responded and explained to them that there would come one who would be called King of the Jews. Now kings should know kings, and so where did they go? Well, they went to see Herod. Herod was an Edomite. He was there to take care and maintain peace in Palestine at the risk of his position and perhaps even at the risk of his life. And so when he heard the term King of the Jews, the light bulb went off and he became quite concerned that somebody is going to take over and remove him from authority and from power. Here these men had been alerted by Daniel and others And so this order of the Magi, founded by the Persian government, went to find out who this one was that was to be called King of the Jews, and they had come to worship him. Looking for the Messiah, discovering the Messiah. Now there's one prayer I would have, is that those who do not believe today would be troubled by that thought, that they need to discover and find the Messiah and allow him to take place in their lives, to repent and to believe, to turn away from, to turn to, and to turn to that which the wise men, the Magi, came and worshipped. Jerusalem, of any place, should have been aware. If you were to travel from from Persia to Palestine, from Babylon to Palestine, where would you go? In thinking that there ought to be people there that should know the answer to the question. Most of them say, well, let's go to Jerusalem. They should know. Was Jerusalem excited? Were they aware? Maybe some were. A few. A few might be Simeon and Anna. They're in the temple. They're waiting for the Messiah. But in general, that was not the case. Herod, the king, heard these things. King with a small K, he was troubled. He was concerned. He wasn't troubled in a positive way. We can be troubled when there's an awakening to sin and a resolution of something that we're troubled by. Those are good things. But he was troubled in a very negative way, because he was concerned that his position would be put at risk. He was bothered. And so even Jerusalem was troubled by this caravan of magi that came through the gates, the caravan of scholars asking about someone that would be called King of the Jews. They would come to that position. So Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. A common reaction when something is going wrong is that we're going to be put in a position of jeopardy. Going to jeopardize what we have, going to jeopardize our health, going to jeopardize our economics, whatever it happens to be. We should recognize that as a natural reaction. And so they were worried that something was going to jeopardize the way things were. And even throughout the course of the life of the Lord, there were those who were troubled that Jesus Christ was going to jeopardize the way things were. So how far is it from Bethlehem, or from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? About 10 miles. Most of us can walk that in one day. 10 miles a day is kind of a good number for walking. There are very few bothered to go. It doesn't say Jerusalem packed it up, bag and baggage, and followed the Magi out the gates and headed off to Bethlehem. No. Think if that were the case, we'd have something in Scripture that would at least allude that. But Herod was well appreciated and liked in Jerusalem. He was a vassal king, as we would call it. Very good at public works, fixed up the city. Infrastructure, as we could call it. Made improvements to the Jewish temple. People liked that. He was admired and appreciated. But also, we might say he was bought off. And so he's playing both sides of the equation. He's playing up to Rome on one side and to the Jewish leadership on the other. And so Herod, in response to being troubled and to Jerusalem, gathers all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and demanded of them when Christ, or where Christ should be born, Christ being Messiah. Demanded. Demanded is one of those words that has a very negative connotation, because he was very pointed. What does Scripture tell? What do your manuscripts say? And they said to him, these were the elders of that time in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And he quotes Micah chapter 5 verse 2, which we considered at Christmas. That's where you're going to find him. Jerusalem, King Herod, probably were very upset at the size and the dignity of this caravan coming to town. This new king would upset the balance. These are Gentiles. These aren't even Jewish scholars that have traveled a long distance to find the Messiah, the new king of the Jews. Something's up, and I'm going to find out what it is. You know, we all go through this journey of life. 2018 marks X number of years in any of our lives. We mark it by calendar year, year over year over year. But the journey of life very necessarily should have as our companion, Jesus the Christ. We need to find him in our life's journey. We need to find him in our daily journey. If we're confronted daily by something, know that he's there with us, helping us to navigate that journey. Let's see, there's darkness at that time, spiritual darkness, because they were not there in Bethlehem. Remember, we've got the birth of the Messiah, we've got these other peripheral satellite situations taking place. Wonder that some of the scribes and the Pharisees didn't say, can we join you? Let's go over to Bethlehem and see what's happening. He doesn't tell us they did. We don't know. We can only speculate. But Bethlehem, the land of Judah, the least out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule or be a shepherd of my people Israel. So you got Herod playing both sides. He's over here talking to the council of 72. About what the manuscripts say. Then you've got this caravan of magi of any number, a half a dozen, a dozen, two dozen, we don't know. And so he calls them privately, calls the scholars, the wise men, inquiring of them diligently what time the star appeared. It's interesting that the Pharisees and the scribes were rightly instructing Herod. Had the right info, personally uninterested. Didn't do anything with it. Didn't do anything with it. Imagine that. Given knowledge and squandered it. Really what it was. Personally uninterested is maybe the better characterization. They had a system in place, a system was functioning properly, and they were very happy with it just the way it was. So Herod tried to use the wise men, the scholars. Ulterior motive. Be careful when somebody's not telling the truth, and what is an ulterior motive for what they are saying or what they are doing or who they think they are? Herod was doing that. He wasn't interested in a positive way. He didn't have the greater good in mind. Consider that in our political world today. We'll leave it just at that. What's the ulterior motive and what's being, or who's being taken care of and who's not? And so Herod tries to use these scholars for his own end. There was a plot and a plan to do away with children so his authority would not be at risk. It's ironic that he used the term that I may come and worship him also. What do we call that? We call that a lie. We call that a lie. Don't ever construe something that is untrue as anything but a lie. And that's what Herod was doing. He privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search. Here's the word diligently again in Matthew's Gospel. For the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. The irony of that statement, that I may come and worship him also. The desire to worship was not even a part of the equation. not even a part of the equation, because you read the rest of this first chapter, it tells of the despicable things that were done to the children of Bethlehem after the Lord escaped to Egypt. But sin is carnal, dishonest about goals. And what are the attributes that Scripture tells us we should be a part, that are the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh, as I often reflect upon from Galatians? Maybe a certain level of paranoia, too. Somebody's going to come and threaten my authority, my place, my position. The star is in place. Go and search diligently. Can't you see him blithely saying that? That I may come and worship him also. What a bunch of nonsense. Untrue. A lie. And so when they heard the king, they didn't know that's what it was. In our world, they were privy to a lot of information, a lot of sources that can provide for us a reality of something that's true and something that's false. Don't we? Assess it. What's true and what's false? This was false. But the wise men didn't know that. The magi, the caravan, they heard the king, they departed. Okay, we're going to go and find this child. We're going to come back and tell him what we found. And so they went till they came over to where the young child was. Perhaps he was in a house. Perhaps it was in the inn. Perhaps it was even, you know, probably wasn't in the stable anymore. This is months after the Lord was warned that this happened. The celestial viewing was still there. Maybe they had moved to a couple different houses. We don't know. But regardless, there was no longer, in my mind, anything, because it talks about him in the house in verse 11. But the word guided the magi to him. The word guides us to him. The word reveals us, or reveals him to us. And it's still there to guide the unbeliever, or someone who's outside of faith, to him, to find him. Remember, as often heard, as most of us in many years of coming to church and hearing the word, faith comes by hearing and by the word, which we have and which we read. And they found him. Thus we have this imperative at the very beginning of the life of Jesus Christ, how he will be revealed to the nations, not just to the Jews. We think of it on the back end where, you know, Paul had this special revelation and special gift of bringing the message of the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles as a whole. But here we have at the very beginning. So yeah, kind of bookending the life of Jesus to the Gentiles. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It finally come to where this celestial occurrence stood over where the child was. Kind of interesting how we allow the depictions that we've come to see over the years to give us a perspective that they all got there at one time when he was born. Well, a mother that's just given birth is generally in no frame of mind to have a lot of visitors, are they? Or physical frame of capability. But we have the shepherds, and we have the magi, and we have the animals, and they're all collectively there crowding into the stable. And so they came into the house, verse 11. Came into the house. And they saw Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Worshipped him. They brought gifts. That's where this whole practice of giving gifts comes from. Is, I think sometimes we overdo it in our time and place. But they brought their gifts. Gold symbolizing the royalty as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Frankincense speaking to his fulfilling the priestly office. Frankincense that was burned on the altar, and myrrh, which speaks of the bitterness of the death that he would have to go to on behalf of the forgiveness of sins of humankind. Must have been a curious sight. Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. here's poor Joseph standing over to the side watching all this transpire over the first few months of his son's life, eldest stepson, as we would call it. And we got this impressive group of dignitaries that have come from a long ways, many days in a caravan, say 10 miles a day, so you're looking at a road for a month or two, 10 miles a day times 30 days, what, 300 miles? Okay, maybe 600 miles? We always speculate. That's the interesting thing about those time frames and those distances. We've got this impressive group of dignitaries with very regal bearing that show up at this house and worship Mary and Joseph's son, bearing gifts. I thought about that in regards to Joseph and Mary's financial status. Now, we all have different financial status. It's a matter of, you know, what our careers have been, or where we've been, or what we've had to face in life, and health issues, and family, whatever. Right? But Mary and Joseph aren't well-to-do. They're lower middle class. They could use some financial help. Guess what? This provided some financial help to the family to go back to Nazareth and to get it going in their lives. But they worshipped in obedience to the call. Worshipped in obedience to what they read. Worshipped in obedience to what they heard. Opened their treasures, presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and probably other things too. Well, the gold and frankincense and myrrh speak to how Matthew catalogs what was important. And then they were warned by God in a dream. Three situations here. We got the dream of Joseph. We've got the visit of the angel. We've got now the dream to the wise men, to the Magi, that they better not go back to Herod. Doesn't tell us that they were told why they should not go, but they were what? Obedient. If something's given to us that we should help with or take care of or to do, we need to follow on with that in the revelation of the Spirit to us as believers. We have the Spirit indwelling in us, and that revelation shows us and gives unto us a perspective of what we should do and how we should conduct. And so they departed home another way, by God's guidance. It doesn't say that they were told what Herod was in Herod's plan, or that Herod had a very negative, ulterior motive, but they went home another way, by God's guidance. And so there are various responses to Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, that we have in these depictions of his birth and the visitors that came to see him, and the ones that didn't come to see him as well. Well, you got, start with Herod. Three H's, hatred, Herod, hatred, and hostility all go together. There are those who categorically stand in conflict with and against Christian principles and values and ethics and teachings and Jesus the Christ. Hatred and hostility, one. Second, I would say indifference. Yeah, something's going on over there in Bethlehem. We're not sure what the scripture said, but you go and find out. Indifference. Oh, ho-hum. Another day. Another day in Jerusalem. How's it going at your shop? How are things in your family? Indifferent to what scripture says. The chief priests and scribes, they knew where it was, but they were indifferent. And part of that was, collectively, they wanted to retain their religious respectability. Retain their religious respectability. We've got a system that's working out real well. We're not going to have anybody come and touch that. Good the way it is. Remember, that's what led to the cross. Right? Then the third is worship and honor. Imagine three Gentile scholars and magi coming to worship the Messiah and honor him. They didn't come and say, wow, here he is, okay, this is interesting, we found it, and go home. They presented unto him gifts, honoring him, falling down before to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of the Jews. Going back to where we started, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they fell down and worshiped him and opened their gifts and their treasures, presenting to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we depart, we know the presence of your Spirit in our journey of faith in the year 2018. As we complete and we have assessed and considered what has transpired in the year past, and we look forward to the journey, we celebrate the journey, we extend our cup knowing it is promised to be filled. We trust that today. No, there will be difficulties, nor will we change. We know your presence, we know your guidance, and may we this morning, even as three wise men, three magi did, once more fall down and worship Jesus the Christ. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without end. Amen.